Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Travel Notes. If you're new here, Travel Notes is a monthly radio show and podcast where we use music as a medium to explore ways in which we're all connected. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. Thanks so much for supporting Travel Notes. And if you're just tuning in over the FM dial at 96.3 FM on radio, thank you for supporting local independent radio. If you'd like to connect with me, suggest a show topic, or just say hi, you can reach us online at gracemcnallymusic.com under the Travel Notes tab, or social media on Instagram at travelnotes_podcast. So, with the impending election here in the United States, this month's guest is an artist who uses her music and platform to encourage and empower people to exercise their power and vote. Today, we talk to musician and songwriter El Huri. Aluri is a New Yorker, an immigrant, Latina woman, singer, and guitarist. Her greatest passions are songwriting and activism. Her music is a fusion of Latin, reggae, global rhythms with rock and funk influences. Her bilingual songs are socially conscious and about current global issues. In her world, music and activism are positively intertwined. She seeks to empower not only the Latino community, but all champions for human rights. She's an artivist, an activist meets artist, which is a really cool word that I hadn't heard until now, whose bilingual songs are stories about resilience, resistance, and civil rights, and saving the planet. We talked to her about her musical influences, mission as an artist and activist, and her most recent tour and project, Concerts for Democracy. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Travel Notes.
Great to be here, Grace.
It's great to have you. So I'd love to start. I'd love to give our listeners a little bit of a background on you as an artist. You're based in New York. You're an immigrant and a guitarist. Tell us a little bit about your journey to the United States and musical background.
Sure. My place of birth was Guayaquil, Ecuador. I was born in South America in Ecuador. And my mother's Lebanese, and her family moved from Lebanon to Ecuador. She was raised there. My father's from Spain, Santander. His family moved from Spain to Ecuador. That's where I was born. And then I came up, we came to New York when I was a baby. So I grew up in New York City. And my entrance into music was basically because both my parents are artists. My mother's a composer, pianist, incredible tangos, boleros, valses, pasillos, that she's a composer. And so I grew up with, you know, sitting next to the piano, and my father's an actor. So the love of the arts and the respect for arts was instilled in me very early on. I grew up in a Spanish-speaking household. That's why a lot of my lyrics are Spanish first. But I grew up in New York City. So the combination of my music is a fusion of the combination of all those influences, because then I grew up in the New York City, you know, CBGB's bitter end scene. So it's very, very different, you know, listening to Afro-Cuban rarities that my father had from, you know, his album collection, and my mother playing pasillos on the piano, which is very a beautiful Ecuadorian rhythm, but a pasillo. And then, you know, listening to the reggae greats in New York City, or rock and punk, and, you know, Police and the Talking Heads and all these people. And so I did grow up as a songwriter. I consider myself a songwriter first, and I have a thing, and I happen to play guitar. That's like, it's all about writing songs. I grew up with that mindset, and my music is a fusion of the Latin, reggae, rock influences with socially conscious lyrics.
Amazing.
And funk too, I like. Yeah.
Cool. I love like how eclectic, and I mean, you are in being based in New York. It's, I've always said, like, you can travel the entire world in New York City. It's an incredible, incredible place. And that's really, really awesome to have those influences, you know, coming together in your music. In terms of songwriting, like, what is songwriting to you as an artist and then as an activist?
I've always been someone who felt that blessed by the ability to express myself musically. So I thought this is an opportunity to also try to maybe be a change maker through my music. And I first started writing songs in English. And then I was on different record labels. And then one of them said, oh, can you translate this to Spanish? So then that's when I started getting deeper into my Spanish roots. Musically, they were always there. But as far as, you know, as far as lyrically, I then found like, wow, I really love writing in Spanish. And then I felt like my Spanish voice as an immigrant surfaced more in my songwriting as a result. That makes sense. So then, not that singing in English, you can't express yourself for singing in Spanish. So a lot of my music is both languages, because that's just what the song leads me. The song writes itself first, and then I build the arrangements around it. I mean, that's how my process is, whether it's a lyrical idea or a melodic idea or a bass line or a cool rhythm.
Totally. Yeah. I've heard a lot of artists in interviews that I've conducted, but also just watched online, like talk about how, and then experienced as a songwriter myself, but it is kind of like it unfolds in a way, like you're exposing like the way a someone who carves, you know, out of stone is like exposing the sculptor from the stone, kind of thing. That makes sense.
That's a great analogy. You like let it in. You let it take flight. Like, you know, you let it the seed of the idea grow. You water it, and then you try to like, and some of those seeds don't make it to albums for me, and that art feel are worthy, because I'm very self-critical about it. Maybe because my parents were so talented, and I'm like, oh, they set a high standard.
And that's common too with artists, I find. It's like, and myself too, it's like we can be our own worst critic.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it's kind of, you know, at least I've been learning how to develop a relationship with that inner critic, you know, voice, but over time, and it's still ongoing. But I could see where, you know, yeah, it's kind of this cultivating of a song process. So
almost like an inner battle, like you're like exposing yourself more, and then you're afraid to expose yourself, and then you expose yourself more, and then you're it's this inner battle that I go through. And then when I don't think about it so much, I think it's better.
Yeah.
But it's a labor of love. And like you said, you're always cultivating it. I'm always looking to expand my horizons. And that's the beauty of music and the gift of music, I guess, is how I feel.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Who are some of your influences? You mentioned, you know, the Afro-Cuban music your father listened to, and then the music from Ecuador that your mom composed and you were exposed to. And maybe any other forms, or like specific guitarists or lyricists that you look up to.
I have so many influences. Because in it musically, it's my music is such a fusion that it could be like, you know, Celia Cruz one day and Sting the next day. It could be, you know, like, or, you know, I had the great honor of, I'm a huge fan of Bob Marley and the whole era of roots reggae. I think because also lyrically, with the messaging behind that, and is aligned with my position of trying to encourage people to empower themselves, you know. And I did have the good fortune of working with Sly and Robbie. Sly and Robbie are reggae icons, and I was working on a reggae song, because when I grew up in New York, I was playing with a lot of different reggae artists, actually. Fellow musicians in the New York scene. So I did develop a good attachment and learned, really, really fell in love with reggae and from early on in New York scene. So that's also a big influence, and my great collaborations with Sly and Robbie. I have three songs with them, Sly Dunbar and Robbie Shakespeare, and that they found me. So it was one of those like, yay moments. And then like the rock scene is where like my love of electric guitar, I love acoustic, I love Cuban tres. I love any stringed instruments. You share that love of guitar with me, and how it's a never ending well of possible exploration. And so I like to do all the layers of my guitars on my records. And so like, it could be that, you know, the solos are because I love Jimmy Page, or everybody's like, oh, Carlos Santana, because I have percussion in my music. So there's a lot of influences on the solo side, but then there's a lot of influences on the layering side or the rhythm side, like a you know, rumba flamenco on the acoustic side, or a Nile Rodgers, you know, kind of funky. I love funk too, funky elements. So all that comes into play. I'm a huge fan of Nancy Wilson from Heart and Bonnie Raitt, because they were, when I was a little girl, I actually saw women holding guitars and singing, you know, lead people. And, you know, so seeing like, you know, I don't know, a Deborah Harry being the leader of the band, or, you know, so there's all of those influences. And also somebody like a pure salsera, like the salsa queen of Celia Cruz, because of how she is such a great entertainer. So the influences go quite a bit. I love funk, soul, rock, all that. I love all those great songwriters that inspire you to want to rise up against something that you think is unjust, you find is injustice or doesn't represent you. Like even like a Marvin Gaye or a, you know, Bob Dylan. Like there's so many great influences of examples of Silvio Rodriguez. He's like, you know, these are like people that inspire me as well as a songwriter. So like, you know, as far, you know, guitar licks and stuff, there's so many influences there. You know, you can go from Pink Floyd to, you know, I don't know where to end my influence.
Yeah, no, there's totally. Yeah.
Derek Trucks is just an amazing, you know, one of the best guitarists, I think, in the world. Last night I did a show, a fundraiser for Keeping Guns Off Campuses, and Nels Klein from Wilco was there, and he was doing some cool piece, and we had, you know, with his Telecaster, and he had this loopers and all this stuff. So there's that element of the guitar side that is bottomless. Yeah. And vocally, again, it's like, you know, again, lead singers, Chrissy Hynde, you have Patti Smith, you have people that have something to say, that position themselves. And of course, you know, I love a lot of the male singers too. You know, I just happen to pick the women in this interview because it just came to mind.
Oh, sure. I got Patti Smith.
Neil Young's a great songwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Simon.
He's Paul Simon, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, Stevie, I love it.
I mean,
you wonder, yeah.
I mean, these are, I know they're classic people, you know, they're, but then I like, you know, somebody like Muse, or I like, you know, Courtney Barnett. Like there's some.
Yeah, I love Courtney Barnett. Yeah.
If you interviewed me tomorrow, I'd have a whole different list, but.
Well, I think that's so, especially as a songwriter, it's like you're listening to so many different styles. That's only going to help your songwriting, you know, it open your ear and mind to like what's possible. Which is cool.
And I love arranging. So I have my home studio set up. So I do all the arranging myself. So I love doing arranging the horn section. I love arranging the drum parts, the, you know, percussion. And then I pull in my amazing musicians. I have a core rhythm section that has been with me for like over 10 years now. Alex Alexander on drums, Winston Roy on bass. These are like, that's my core rhythm section. And Alex percussion too. So Then I have my friends who play keyboards, and my friends who, you know, the horn sections that I've worked with in the past. But arranging all that to me is another part of my sound, because it's what I'm hearing in my head that I want to get out. And it's not necessarily what somebody would take an acoustic guitar and play it and sing it and arrange it differently. So I kind of self-produce. I produced the last couple of records. Also with great engineers and great people around me when you go into the bigger studios and record it properly. But I want to flesh out the arrangement. I think that's also crazy, obsessive, controlling, you know, part of creative control.
It's such an important part of the process. So I totally understand wanting, you know, having an idea of what you want it to sound like and
fleshing it out to the, and then, the demos like are very much what the song's going to end up like. And if I work with people that change its direction slightly and it's better, of course I want that, you know?
Right. But
the core of the vision, I don't want to compromise the vision. Yeah.
Totally.
of the song.
Well, let's talk about your current project, Hillary Concerts for Democracy. How did this idea come about, and what is your mission behind it?
That's a great question. We released my last record, my fifth record was released in 2022. And so in 2022, we toured in the US and we did some dates in Mexico. We toured in Mexico, which I tour in all the time. Then last year we did more dates in the US, and then we toured in Europe to support the record. We released it, you know, more out there in different countries. But then this year came about and I was like, I've done in the past these concert and workshop series where you go to the concert and then afterwards there's like a little workshop it's a how to find your own voice workshop. And so I lead that, and I've done it in Bogota. I've done it in Mexico City. I did it in New York. I did it in Canada, just sporadically. And my lyrics are all about socially conscious issues, about, you know, anti-gun violence, how to find your voice, speak out against injustice, fight for your rights, all always in my lyrics, the content, climate, you know, about saving the earth. And so this year, earlier, like around February or March, I was brainstorming with my manager and a couple of other people. And I said, you know, we really have to do something this year about helping people find their voice through the vote, because we have a big election in the United States. So let's focus on the US. So then we built this whole concert series. And we found partners. This is a nonpartisan concert series that we developed. And basically, we partnered with Headcount, Every Voice Counts, and Spread the Vote, which are voting organizations. And the idea is to get people to come to a free concert or a smaller fee concert, but mostly free. Most of them are free. That was the goal. And we have partners, those partners, the voting partners. And at the concerts, we have all the registration materials available. Everything's very safe and legal and nonpartisan. And we encourage people in English and Spanish to come, check their status of voting, answer. We're there to answer questions, not me, my team, and the team of volunteers that we developed, they're amazing. And all the materials, and really just to inspire people to vote. Frankly, when I'm singing in Spanish up there, I want to inspire somebody if they're interested in running. That would mean, you know, at the next election, or, you know, the grandmother who's maybe an immigrant that isn't a citizen is telling her at the concert, free outdoor concert, is telling her, you know, nephew in Texas, or like it has a lot of reach. Even if we're playing Chicago, she's telling her nephew in Texas, don't forget to vote. Again, it's nonpartisan. It's like, and hopefully unifying, because the polarization is crippling. And I think democracy is at stake. So that's why we said we're going to focus on the US. And then we built a team. And like I said, we have some great funders who believed in it again, so we can keep kind of the concerts free. And it's been a quite an interesting ride.
I bet.
As you see a lot of people's fear and resistance, especially in the Latino community, I've experienced firsthand. I feel like that's what we're trying to offset with these opportunities of materials in front of them, so that they try to take the fear away and try to inspire people to use their voice.
And that is that fear to vote?
Fear of, like, you know, why are you asking me to fill out a form? That kind of thing. Because there's, I think, a lot of misinformation out there, because there's newer immigrants that are, obviously everybody's got to be a citizen and over 18 to register, but there's still some confusion.
Sure.
But I definitely saw people feeling empowered, and I've had some great discussions, because obviously we've had many of these concerts already. And that's very inspiring. And I really feel like people have a lot more in common than the polarization that we're experiencing, that I would really like to encourage us to focus on.
Yes, totally.
I'm 100%. I'm a change maker. I'm known as a rock star humanitarian. So I really want to inspire people to empower themselves for change. And I'm a huge believer in representation. I think representation matters. I think me looking up to Bonnie Raitt, I'm an example for other young boys or girls, or, you know, not young, any age.
Yeah.
Women to lead, so that it's, you know, to try to help people get out of their own shell or empower themselves. Yeah. And to speak out, to testify when they see something's not okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%. And I think the fact that you are both speaking in English and Spanish is so powerful. And like you said, like, you never know the reach. Like, someone in the crowd could be, yeah, texting their, you know, family on the other side of the country and asking, hey, like, are you registered? You know, and just kind of help it. You never know how it's going to, who it's going to affect and in what way, and what changes it's going to have, which is really powerful. How do you think, like, what do you think music's role, we talked about it a little bit, but like, music's role in democracy and as a form of activism?
I'm a big believer of that. And that's kind of the central to my music and my message, that because music is so inviting, inclusive, an international language, and I find that it loosens people up and softens people up in a way that makes them comfortable with maybe something that they would not normally that they had a preconceived notion about. Like, an example would be like, you know, being at a concert where nobody speaks Spanish and kind of getting people to sing along in Spanish and hearing some Latino rhythms embedded in my music that they would normally not hear, because they're used. And the opposite happens. I'll be at a concert and I hear something that's different because it's, oh, that's what, you know, a soca pattern, soca rhythm is. And whatever it is that you're exposed to, it's coming through music that is going to help unify us and help us be more, I think, evolve, be more civilized. And I really believe it is key to the evolution of people being kind to each other and more accepting of differences, because music connects people in a way that maybe they wouldn't do one-on-one, human to human. It kind of bridges, it's a bridge. So lyrically, I try to, my songs are with that in mind, but they're really a message of things that I've heard as I tour. I get lyrical ideas for songs because people are telling me stories. Even the story you and I spoke on before we were on camera, we, you know, could trigger like, oh, I want to give that back to the audience. That's that message, that's that conversation I had, or that perspective, you know?
The perspective is huge. And that, yeah, and the piece of just it bridging and giving people an opportunity to come together in a low pressure, like to go see a concert, especially a free concert. Like, that is such a great excuse to get people together and empower, educate.
We coexist in a joyful way, like people who maybe would never even talk to their neighbor might show, you know, come to this, like, we're doing this show coming up in Allentown, and and that is like, it's all nonpartisan, but that is the Latinos are the swing in the swing states, you know, and so Pennsylvania is an important state for people to engage in the voting process, because it's going to be pretty instrumental leverage wise, you know. So we're excited to be playing at this event in Allentown, and I think it's going to be quite diverse. Like, and I like, really like that.
Yeah.
People there usually don't see, and that could be diverse in many ways. The word diverse is very broad. It could be socioeconomic. It could be ethnic. It could be religious. There's diversity of all types. And I really am an optimist, and I believe in kindness in humans, that can really help prevail the darkness and the polarization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like you said, like, we do, I strongly believe and it's actually a huge reason I created this show and podcasts. Like, we are more, we're more, we have more in common than we do have, like, our differences. Then our common ground is there, and it's I think we're, and so and I think that music is a great,
oh God, Grace, that's so true. When I tour, I can do a show in you know, Nova Scotia, Canada, and then do a show in Monterrey, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And the conversations I have with the people, or and then LA or whatever, are almost the same.
I totally believe that. Yeah. The same, all humans.
Same thing, love of life, the this, the that. Like, it's, you know, you just, like you said, you want to bridge all that and say, look, we, you know, it's one life cycle you have, whatever.
Right.
Even before or after this life cycle, that's one life. You know, one earth that we're on, that we, this planet we live on. So let's, like, make, can't we make the best of it? That's the thing. And you having a platform for what you do is a part of that. Like, we all have a voice. We're all changed. We can all be change makers, or we can sit on the side if you don't want to, but don't throw stones.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's that shared common human experience, like you said, that one, we're here at the same time, we're alive, you know, for a period of time, and we have one shot, and one planet and all the things. So man, this is, it's so great to talk about all of this with you and just learn more about what, you know, your mission is as an artist and activist, is. So what do you have coming up here? Are you going on tour? Are you, what's coming up in the next couple of months for you?
So the next couple of months, we're wrapping up this Concerts for Democracy, Ludi Concerts for Democracy series. We're wrapping all that up. And then I'm going to start writing my next album. So then I,
wow,
it again.
That's exciting. Yeah.
And there's a lot to say. And the thing that I like about, I mean, I love all the world rhythms in my music, because that's a real influence. I have, you know, Lebanese, Middle Eastern roots. I have Latin roots, and Spanish roots, and I love reggae. But then what I love about rock is it's just urgent. It's just powerful. And so I do love playing guitar. Don't get, you know, my songs are my voice. I love to sing, but, you know, wailing on the electric guitar, it sure is a lot of fun.
I totally could see that, how, like, my dad's biggest dream, I think, when I was growing up, is that I would follow in the path of Led Zeppelin, you know, the Led Zeppelin. He was singing me books. So, and I could totally see it. I mean, yeah. And rock, ever so many, especially here in America, people all over the world, but, like, people love rock and roll. And it's
a bit, but oh, in Mexico. Yeah. Oh my God. And in South America. And, you know, we did England last year too. We did some and it was, And the, I mean, it's cool. My sound is a fusion, but there's always that power of rock in there.
Yeah. Love it. Where can people find you online, find your music, and follow you on social media?
So the social media links, my website is eljurimusic.com, ELJURIMUSIC.com. And I almost said arroba because that's Spanish. At eljurimusic is, you know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We have a couple of great videos that we worked with some great artists on some videos there, and YouTube at eljurimusic, ELJURIMUSIC. We're in all the DSPs, Spotify, Apple Music, El Huri, ELJURI. And I think that's, that covers.
Yeah. Pretty much.
We do, I say we because I'm a solo artist, but I do have amazing musicians and an amazing label and management team and everything. But I do definitely stay in touch with people on social media, because it's important. We connect at an event or wherever, and I it's back to what we were saying. I like that connection, the bridging, you know, and all that.
Totally. Totally. Really. It's such an incredible tool, social media.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, wonderful. Well, it's been such a pleasure to chat and just learn more about your music and mission. I will include links to your website on in the show notes, so we'll make sure people have easy access to that as well.
That's great. Yes. And yeah, the five albums are up there. Yeah.
Amazing. The first track we're going to listen to is appropriately named La Voz, or The Voice, which has an anthem feel to it. I hope you enjoy. Going to check out is called Bang Bang, and you can definitely hear El Huri's rock and reggae influence on this one. ¶¶
City.
And the final track in today's episode is called Lucha, which features lyrics in Spanish and has some great rock guitar. I hope you enjoy.
Las cosas.
And Concerts for Democracy. I'll include links to all three of those in today's episode show notes, along with a link to the Travel Notes website page. Wishing you all a safe and empowering election season, and stay tuned because our next trip is just around the corner.